From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gastina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength is Not for Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.
Coming up this week, the battle for control of the state's Senate continues. Our political observer Alan Shartok shares his thoughts on that, and we'll talk with Congressman Bill Owens about issues left to resolve in the lame duck session. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. A leading Democratic senator says wayward Democrats in the Senate should get in line with the others in their party and form a majority to run the Senate when the new session starts in January. More from our Capitol correspondent, Karen DeWitt.
Despite being severely underfunded compared to their Republican opponents, Democrats have so far won 31 Senate seats to the GOP's 30. Two more Senate races are still being tallied, with absentee ballots being counted. The Democratic candidates are slightly ahead in one race and narrowly lead in the other. Senator Michael Gianaris of Queens ran the Democrats' campaign efforts.
It's what the voters said loud and clear. Our candidates got 58% of the votes statewide. It's hard to argue we didn't win when we achieved that much of a mandate.
If Gianaris sounds more like he's making a case for a Democratic majority than basking in victory, that's because there are a number of political obstacles facing him and most of the other Senate Democrats who would like to regain control of the Senate in January. Four of the Democrats reelected on November 6th are members of a breakaway independent Democratic conference led by Senator Jeff Klein of the Bronx. The IDC has had a rocky relationship with the rest of the Democrats and has often sided with the current Republican majority on key legislation. In addition, newly elected Brooklyn Democratic Senator Simcha Felder has announced he'll sit with the Republicans. That gives the GOP conference the numerical majority for now, while the other two races are still undecided. Senator Gianaris has some advice for all of those Democrats.
People who are elected as Democrats on election night to heed the message that the people they represent delivered. The people want a Democratic Senate. Poll after poll, even prior to the election, showed by almost 20% margin that voters want a Democratic Senate.
And he accuses the GOP of meddling, blaming Republican senators for the 2009 Senate coup, which led to a month-long standoff in the Senate.
Now, it's no surprise to me that the Senate Republicans who brought us the coup attempt last time, who created the dysfunction that everyone knows about so well, are at it again in this round, trying to transact with some misguided Democrats and trying to create as much chaos as they can.
In a statement, a spokesman for the Senate Republicans says Senator Gianaris is wrong. Spokesman Scott Reif says it was the Senate Republicans working with Governor Cuomo who ended the chaos and dysfunction that Democrats brought to Albany during their two disastrous years in the majority. Senator Klein, the leader of the Independent Democratic Conference, has met with current Senate Majority Leader Dean Skelos, and Senator Gianaris says there have also been conversations between the Democratic Conference and the Independent Democrats. He would not completely rule out a scenario where Senator Klein was given a high leadership post with the Senate Democrats, but he also says he's not negotiating publicly in the media.
I'm not going to be laying down markers publicly through the press at this point. We'll wait until we sit down with the entire conference, hopefully including Senator Klein and his colleagues, and we'll figure out between us how we're going to proceed.
In the lone interview that Senator Klein has given since the elections, he told the Buffalo News that he believes his group will be a permanent third conference in the Senate. Governor Cuomo has been busy with the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy since before the elections. The governor has commented only briefly on the outcome of the Senate races. Cuomo, while saying he has no intention of getting involved in the fight for leadership of the Senate, described how he views the current struggle for power.
It's more of a coalition because there are three groups instead of just two, and they come to an arrangement among themselves, and that arrangement, whoever gets two out of three winds up winning.
A permanently split Senate might actually help Cuomo pass his agenda. In the first 2 years of his term, his priority items have included fiscally conservative measures favored by Republicans, as well as more liberal items like same-sex marriage, which was approved mostly by Democratic senators with the help of just four GOP votes. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Nationwide Insurance announced earlier this year that damage from hydrofracking won't be covered under its own homeowner policies. As the Innovation Trail's Matt Richman reports, that announcement brought to light new questions about how fracking will be regulated in New York.
To people in the insurance business, Nationwide's announcement wasn't a big surprise. Homeowner policies have never covered damage from a business people run on their property. Robert Hartwig of the Insurance Information Institute says a homeowner with a gas lease should make sure they are covered by the driller's insurance. And if a neighbor's property without a gas lease is polluted by fracking, then they can sue the driller for damages. That, says Hartwig, is how it works everywhere.
So there are no new legal issues that are likely to arise here. I mean, again, New York is the last one to the fracking party.
Hartwig says landowners will be open to lawsuits if drilling on their land results in pollution, even though they weren't directly responsible.
Yes, it's possible. In America, people will sue everybody and will stop at nothing in a lawsuit.
That potential gap in insurance is one of the many open questions as New York considers whether to allow high-volume hydraulic fracturing. This kind of drilling is something different than what's been in New York for 100 years. The newer mineral leases include a clause that covers the landowner. The older ones, the kind that landmen have brought to people's doors for years, do not include that clause, known as the hold harmless. So how will that second group of landowners be covered? That's the question some New Yorkers are looking into now. Tim Dodge is from the Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of New York. He says his agency has formed a task force to explore the gaps in coverage.
So the task force may say, the industry needs to create a product to fill this hole, and this is what that product should include.
Dodge says it could take until May to produce a recommendation. Meanwhile, the State Assembly is also planning to explore the insurance issue. Joe Morelli is the chairman of the Assembly's Insurance Committee. He says there's a long list of unanswered questions. Do landowners have to notify their insurance company if they sign a lease? Would an accident caused by drilling nullify their insurance? What happens when they try to sell their property?
There are a number of issues here which I'm not sure have been fully vetted.
Morelli says New York will consider what other states with hydrofracking have done, but those examples might not apply to New York.
Insurance is the largest industry in the country, still essentially regulated by the various states. So we have different statutes, we have a different body of law, we approach things differently perhaps than other states.
He says if they decide that offering a new kind of coverage for fracking is the best option, approving that product would take time. Environmental Advocates of New York has called on the Department of Financial Services to start its own investigation. Catherine Nadeau is the group's Water and Natural Resources Program Director.
I think this is the type of question that an investigation by the Department of Financial Services could definitely get into, because there are possibilities for different types of insurance coverage. There's possibilities to change our state regulations and state laws to clearly spell out who is liable for damages if something goes wrong.
Nadeau, whose group is one of New York's most visible fracking opponents, says the state should delay hydrofracking at least until all these questions are answered. In Binghamton, I'm Matt Richman for the Innovation Trail.
Support for the Innovation Trail comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The Innovation Trail is a collaboration between five upstate public media outlets reporting about New York's innovation economy. You can hear more at innovationtrail.org. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina.
Joining us now is Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok. Well, Alan, this week, some exciting developments when it comes to the New York State Senate, although no answers yet. We saw the Senate Republicans gain one more member in the fight for the control over this chamber. But interestingly, it's newly elected Brooklyn Democrat Simcha Felder, who says he'll sit with the GOP. Coalition starting to form now, Alan, and we are still waiting on two races. That is Terry Gibson and the Republican Saland in the Poughkeepsie area. Right now, votes in favor of the Democrat Gibson, as well as Cecilia Kacik, who faces George Amador, the Republican. And Kacik now just ahead by 139 votes. They've started canvassing there. What do you make of all this? You predicted there might be a coalition forming.
Well, I predicted, and I don't like it, I'll be honest with you, because I don't think it's Democratic. I mean, small-D Democratic. I think that the idea that we're going to have a Republican Senate, no matter what happens, we will see Dean Skelos as the leader. Look, we send our kids to fight in Afghanistan and Iraq for democracy, and yet we allow them to draw their own districts. And when that doesn't work, we still find a way of leaving them in control of the Senate. This is not a good thing. I'll tell you why. I don't have great faith in the Democrats in the state Senate. The fact of the matter is, by picking off people, by saying, we'll give you chairmanships, which they have done with certain key Democrats, by doing all of that, they defy the concept of democracy, again, a small d.
Well, the brutality of Superstorm Sandy has really taken a toll on New York, of course, Alan. And we've also seen the governor getting angry at the utilities. He's formed a Moreland Commission to look into their handling, especially critical of the Long Island Power Authority. And the president there has stepped down. He has resigned. And the governor, not only facing this issue of the utilities, but also all $30 billion in damage from the storm they're requesting from the federal government, and what's being reported, $1 billion more dollars added on to the state deficit, and dealing with that coming in the session.
There's no question that Sandy has made an incredible dent into the way in which the finances of New York State and the United States will be. We see a very interesting development in that the two United States senators who work in concert with each other, they've been brilliant at the way they do that. Senator Schumer and Senator Gillibrand have asked for $1 billion from the feds. That is $29 billion, I believe, less than the governor asked for. And they say they'll probably ask for more, but nevertheless, they've asked for $1 billion. They asked the Congress right now, when we're going into this whole negotiation between the Republicans and the Democrats about the fiscal cliff, for another $30 or $40 billion. That's a lot of money in the great scheme of things. Nobody's not sympathetic to this. Americans should help each other, and they will. But nevertheless, this is going to be a real fiscal crisis for New Yorkers. And there is apparently some distance between the governor and the two United States senators. At least that's the way it looks to me, because I think what you do is you do what's doable and not what's just sort of pie in the sky and asking for it. Now, as far as the governor is concerned, he has a little bit of a problem here, David, and that's that the Long Island Power Authority is an agency that he has a lot to say about. They still have a former, the guy who resigned, has been around for years. He's been acting, you know, because nobody else has been named. You have a whole bunch of unfilled positions on the LIPA board. Those all fall to the governor, and he knows it. His intense attack has been, I think, interesting in that he has to worry a little bit about the way in which he is perceived in all of this. So the attack, the Moreland Act Commission that is apparently being formed, is a way of dealing with all of that and perhaps deflecting some of what is potentially coming his way. Right now, he's played it brilliantly. He's succeeding. People are saying he's doing the right thing. I have not seen any criticism of him. But it seems to me that this is a time when everybody has to pull together.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok.
Congress returned for the lame duck session this week with a number of issues to resolve. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley spoke with Congressman Bill Owens about specific items that he says must be resolved before the end of the year.
The fiscal cliff is the cloud over Congress as its lame duck session begins. While that is a priority issue for Congressman Bill Owens, it's not the only matter of importance that he says needs to be addressed.
Clearly, I think we have a chance to get the Farm Bill on the floor this week, and be able to act on that. I hope and believe it will pass, and then we can get it to conference with the Senate. I think the fiscal cliff and sequestration, as well as the Bush tax cuts, we're going to have to wait to see what proposals come forward from the president and Mr. Boehner.
With the farm bill, what sorts of compromises do you think will have to be made on the floor?
I believe that the only place where there will be significant negotiations will be on food stamps. As you know, the Senate bill has cuts in it of about $23 billion. The House has $36 billion in cuts. Much of that is derived from food stamps. I think we'll see a number somewhere in the high 20s as the compromise. Much of that will come out of food stamps. I think if they get to that number, then we likely will have enough Republican and Democratic votes together to pass the bill.
The dairy management system, the new management, price management system that's been proposed in the farm bill, do you think that will survive?
I do. I think it is a dramatic change. The big piece for me is that this is not something that farmers are compelled to participate in. They can opt out if they choose.
How quickly can we get the farm bill passed, do you think, and get some of the new benefits and the new program for farmers going?
Well, I believe that if we can act on it this week in the House, that there is an excellent chance that before the end of the year, before we recess for the holidays, that we'll be able to get a bill passed and signed by the president.
Moving on to the so-called fiscal cliff, what are the stumbling blocks going to be there?
Mr. Boehner is sending signals that he's aware that we have to increase revenue. He just doesn't want to raise tax rates. We have the president indicating that he does want to raise tax rates, but is most interested in increasing revenue. So there are some places I believe we could compromise. From my perspective, clearly the best thing and the simplest thing to do is to allow the Bush tax cuts to expire for those making either over $250,000 or $500,000. But you may be able to get there by simply eliminating some deductions and credits for people in those income categories, therefore increasing their effective tax rate.
Obviously, we've got this whole issue with General Petraeus. Are you concerned that it will sideline or distract Congress from getting work done?
I don't think so. I think that they'll be able to handle this situation with General Petraeus fairly, if you will, discreetly. I just mean in a separate box, if you will. You know, if Petraeus doesn't testify till January, in my mind, that's not the end of the world.
As you go back, what sort of temperament do you expect on the floor from your colleagues? And do you expect more compromise as you work in the lame duck session?
I'm hopeful that there will be more compromise. It's going to be very interesting to go back and see the reaction of those who have won and lost as to how they intend to handle themselves on the floor for this remaining 6 weeks. But I'm hopeful, and again, from listening to what Mr. Boehner is saying, from listening to what the president is saying, it appears to me that people are in more of a mood to look to compromise than they might have been 6 weeks ago or 6 months ago. So I'm very hopeful, and I'm going back with more hope of compromise and rational behavior than I've had in 3 years I've been there.
Vermont's congressional representative is not optimistic about a resolution to the fiscal cliff deadline. On Monday, Democratic Congressman Peter Welch said little progress was made before the election, and he doubts that a budget breakthrough will come in the last 2 months of the year.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Neighborhoods in one Orange County city have embraced activism as a tool for social change. With more, the Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas.
We are gonna fight, fight, fight! Housing is a human right! Citizens in Newburgh are known for being vocal. Community activists affiliated with Community Voices Heard recently rallied over affordable housing, concerned about high rents and buildings they say are in poor condition. Beatrice Pulliam is a 23-year-old mother with severe health issues, worried about the neighborhood she lives in.
Every day, my kids have to walk through this. Yeah. And every day, my kids have to see something ugly. But yet and still, we're not from here. So to us, we think it's beautiful. We have nothing but brownstones along the street. And do you think that the city would even care enough to think about that? To think what beauty they have in their hands? They don't care. As long as the money comes to them and they get a fatter raise and a fatter paycheck every week. So what do they care about us? Nothing.
The activist march through the city's East End came to a halt when a property owner appeared on the scene angry that tenants who had opened their homes to the press and public had not paid their rent. But the marchers believe they accomplished what they set out to do, increase public awareness. Mayor Judy Kennedy was not available for comment. A woman who answered the telephone at the mayor's office said they were familiar with Community Voices Heard. Last week, Mayor Kennedy proposed measures to refocus the city on safety and economic growth. Citizens rallied again last Thursday, calling on the lame duck Congress not to extend the Bush tax cuts for the wealthiest 2%. They delivered a pledge to outgoing Congresswoman Nan Hayworth's office, demanding that she focus on creating jobs rather than cutting vital services when she gets back to Washington. Ibby Watson and his granddaughter Danielle are among those who argue Hayworth still has the ability to push her own agenda and ignore the will of her constituents in the final weeks of her term.
Her attitude didn't serve the best interest of the community. She was more for the 1% than the 99%. You know, it's disturbing to see that happen, and I figured if I could make a difference, my granddaughter and myself, Danielle, we would certainly do that.
I'm 18, so it's my first election. My beef with her is the whole stance on birth control and the defunding of Planned Parenthood.
Ibby, Danielle, and other activists stress that, especially in the wake of Hurricane Sandy, focusing on infrastructure investments and creating jobs is the surest way to speed up our economic recovery, reduce the deficit, and ensure communities like Newburgh thrive and can withstand future storms. Community Voices' Loretta Manning has nothing but hope for Newburgh, its rich history and its current inhabitants, rich and poor, black and white, and she has a message for Congresswoman Hayworth.
I wish Nan Hayworth a farewell and, you know, even thank her for what she felt she was doing right, but also remind her we are the people, she is the people, and realize the people that's being forgotten. Because we're still going to be here, and whether it's wrong or right, we still have to take a stand for each other.
Nan Hayworth did not respond to telephone calls or emails soliciting comment.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas. And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. Copies of the program are available. Call 1-800-323-9262. That number, 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1246. Or just listen or podcast on the web at WAMC.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.